Live from Capitol Hill, it's the Jordan Sekulow Show. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To follow Jordan on Twitter, go to twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Tweet Jordan to get your question on the air. For more information and the latest updates, go to JordanSekulow.com. Now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the Jordan Sekulow Show. We are taking your phone calls. I said on Jay Sekulow Live, a little special show, doing a dual show today for you, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about, of course, this state-level defunding of Planned Parenthood. And why are we doing it today? Well, Indiana now in court in the Seventh Circuit. We represent members of Congress there, and that was kind of a shot across the bow, a major case. The Obama administration's involved in the administrative law setting and trying to, you know, threatening their Medicaid funds, which is half the funds. I mean, that's 16 to 20% of states' budgets go to Medicaid, and the other half of the money comes from the matching grants come from the federal government. And so if that's threatened, you have to take a big step as a state to continue to fight out in courts. Indiana is at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Texas is fighting it out as well. And we're putting together a legal brief there and also looking at other states across the country. If you're just joining us, let me just update you, because it's happened in Arizona. Governor Jan Brewer's defunded. Florida, a county did it. So you can do it at the local level as well. In Indiana, obviously, Kansas, New Hampshire looked at doing it. And the Obama administration circumvented really the state government by providing the funds federally. So that's how much they care about Planned Parenthood. New Jersey, because of a Governor Christie veto there. North Carolina, because of a veto override there. Tennessee, Texas, of course, and Wisconsin as well. More states are looking at doing so. Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio, and Oklahoma. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Than Bennett, our ACLJ Director of Government Affairs, is in the studio. And Than, let's get right to the phone calls.
Yeah, let's start with Kevin calling in from Massachusetts on line one. Kevin, welcome to the Jordan Sekulow Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment, and I wanted you to answer it. I was listening to an FM secular station in Boston, and they couldn't understand why everyone was against Planned Parenthood, because he said that only 3% of the funding they receive goes to abortions. Most of it goes to unfortunate families and such.
Well, I mean, Than, I wanted you to explain this, because you look at the funding issue so much as we look at the legislative issue. So can you explain, because they always say 3% of the funds go to abortion, but we know how their funding is set up. They're not really supposed to give any of those funds to abortion, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan, even if you take their own numbers at face value, which I think maybe not be entirely accurate anyway, but even if you look at them, it's just very clear to see what their business model is. They get that 3% figure by taking all of the services that they provide to any person that ever comes into one of their clinics and simply dividing it by how many end up in an abortion. Of course, that's a crazy number, because if you come in and you're not pregnant, you could be given, you know, 7 or 8 services. You could be given a pregnancy test. You could have your blood work. You'd be given birth control. All these numbers of services. But Jordan, if you come in and you get an abortion, that's the end of the line. You can only be given one service, because that ends the life, that ends the procedure, so to speak. So it's a very distorted figure, and all that people need to understand is that they take that $1 billion and it results in 350,000 abortions each and every year, and only about 6,000 women get other services, adoption referrals or prenatal care. So their business is all about abortion. All you have to do is take a little bit closer look at their numbers, their own numbers, and you can see the truth.
Absolutely, folks. So again, that's why we're doing these shows too as well. If you've got questions, if you're hearing something, let us kind of be, let us do the facts. Let us give you the facts on this, because they're clear. We do the research so that you can have that. It's up at aclj.org. Will you stand with the states? Will you stand with us as we fight these legal battles? 877-989-2255. We need you. That's 877-989-2255. We'll take more of your calls when we get right back. You're listening to the Jordan Seculo Show. Follow me at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Back to the Jordan Seculo Show. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The lines are full, so we want to get to all of these calls right now. Sam Bennett, the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs. We're, of course, talking about states defunding Planned Parenthood. I want to get right to your calls, though. Let's do it then.
Yeah, let's go to AJ calling from South Carolina on line two. AJ, welcome to the Jordan Seculo Show.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say that the opponents of the defunding of Planned Parenthood really have a battle now, since the White House, upon your visit, if you're pregnant, you need to register that unborn child as a citizen, Baby Jane, Baby Joe. So even though they're circumventing the states, they have a horrible argument being on both sides at the same time. Thank you.
You know, I think we talked about this, AJ, and I'm glad you brought it back up in case anybody missed it, because then it's pretty unbelievable what happened. This email that came out of the White House visitor's office to congressional staff saying, by the way, for White House tours, you need to put down your unborn baby, their information. Here's how you put their name. Here's how you put their date of birth. Here's how you put their the Social Security number that doesn't exist. I mean, this comes out. It's because that distinction, the real distinction anymore between in the womb and out of the womb, is going, and they kind of walk into their own I think issues with how they use the terminology. I remember when I was much younger, and I would be at the debates with my dad then, and they would never, ever use the word baby. Yep. to refer to anything in the womb. It would always be the fetus, even if you said it. And it would be like a slip if they did. Now, the distinction's not even made by most of these groups. They call them unborn children, but they still say, you know, it's a women's right to choose whether or not to have that child or not. The distinctions are going out the door because of medical technology. I think education by people who realize they're funding all of this.
Yeah, this was an unbelievable story, Jordan, and you're right. I mean, my wife just had our third child, and we went through those ultrasounds, and you could see even at 10 or 12 weeks just how formed, just how complete that baby was. And the Obama administration's having a tough time with this because, you know, on the one hand, they're opposing all of these informed consent laws. They're telling women, we don't want to show you what's inside your womb because don't worry, it's just a fetus. It's not a baby. You don't have to worry about it. Therefore, we're going to oppose state laws to show you exactly what this procedure is. And then they say to that same woman who wants to come just take a tour of the White House, you know, no big deal, just walk through as a tourist, they say, no, we got to make sure that your baby clears security too. You got to give us your information for that unborn baby just in case you deliver before you come to the White House. So, Jordan, they're having a harder and harder time, and it's just because the facts are not on their side. They're on the wrong side of this one, and they don't know how to deal with both sides of the issue. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to line three. Natalie's calling from North Carolina. Natalie, welcome to the Jordan Seculo Show.
Hi, thank you for allowing me the chance to jump back on my soapbox. I've been frustrated about us not having a say in where our tax dollars go on this issue. But to me, I don't think people are seeing this as clearly. I feel that it would be the equivalent of the government rewarding us for bad behavior. And I'm assuming that most of the abortions that are done is the result of behavior that is not responsible. It's people taking risks and they find themselves pregnant. And it's like, so why isn't the government stepping up saying, okay, if you want to go out and drink and drive, that's not good behavior. That's irresponsible. But you know what? We're going to pay for your car to be repaired and we'll take care of all the expenses. It's the equivalent thing. So I don't understand why people who support us paying their dollars wouldn't support something like that. To me, it just makes it a lot more clear that this is not an area that we should not be supporting.
Well, you know what, Natalie? What I think, and I think where you're right, is that if people thought like you did and understood the issue as we do, then that would be the case. The problem has been the propaganda, because they are a $1 billion-a-year organization, And the pro-life community, which is strong, which is loud, certainly is not like Planned Parenthood as a single entity, billion-dollar-a-year group who has all the resources they want, all the federal funding, the state funding, and heck, if that state funding's even threatened, they go right to court. I mean, the Obama administration will go to court for them. So what do we have to do? We have to educate people. How do we do that, Natalie? How do we educate people about Planned Parenthood? We educate them by telling them the facts, by giving them the information, by telling them the truth. And when the truth comes out and you realize that for as much as you may say and repeat back and have them repeat back, well, this is how we have the medical facilities. This is how we provide the care. This is how we do the women's health. The truth is, all of that goes out the window if you cut off Planned Parenthood's abortion funding. If they're not abortion, number one abortion provider in the world, they're not doing any of those other services, which, by the way, are so overblown. When it comes to like the mammogram issue, and Than, we know about this, they don't even do the actual mammogram procedures with machines. I mean, it's all propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely. One of their biggest defenses has been this mammogram care will go away. Well, Jordan, they don't do it themselves. They refer to someone else. So why wouldn't we give the federal grant that was intended for the mammogram to the person providing the service themselves? It just doesn't make any sense. But I have to tell you, and I think Natalie's right on this point, part of the reason that Planned Parenthood is running into more and more opposition is because it's expanding beyond the pro-life community now, because we're starting to see through just what this organization is all about. Just this Take this Medicaid. I know I've talked about this a lot, but people need to understand this. Medicaid dollars are sent to the state to provide health care. The state, members of Congress, and Congress has said this all along, the state is best situated to determine how those Medicaid dollars are sent. So when it goes to Planned Parenthood and they use them for abortions, and the state says state is no longer allowed to say Planned Parenthood can't get these funding, that decision is being taken away from the state. So you have, you know, people coming at it from a federalist position. They may not even be a pro-lifer, but they support the right of that state to determine how those Medicaid dollars are spent. That's why this has become a state-by-state issue, and that's why we're asking our members to engage on the state level as well.
You do that by calling 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. A lot of more phone calls. Let's get to them, Than.
Let's go to Stephanie calling from California on line 4. Stephanie, welcome to the Jordan Seculo Show.
Hi, thank you, and this is my first time calling.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Hi, and I'm taking issue with a few things. One is your overall with your program that the liberal media is distorting and discrediting. I don't believe that. I think there's just as much distorting and discrediting on the other side. But if we have a civil, reasoned discourse and present another set of facts and another set of understanding, then we can have a discussion and come to some...
I'll disagree with you on this, Stephanie. The problem, and I'll get your reaction to it, but I think the problem with this is when they're talking about half of their billion-dollar-a-year budget, and you're saying that if you believe that abortion is murder, which we do and a lot of our supporters do, so you believe abortion is murder, you believe that you're funding half of a billion-dollar budget to the number one murder provider, if you call it that way. You can take the term. If you believe that's what that is, then you see how they're just doing everything they can to keep their money. I mean, that's what it's about. It's not civil. It's a fight for existence, if you could put it that way.
Exactly how you are phrasing it is distorting it also, sir.
How is that distorting it? Tell me.
You are politicizing a woman's medical issue. That is political.
Right. So you support abortion. You don't believe it's the taking of a life.
You know, I know it's hard for you to. I know it's easy for you to.
Do you believe abortion is murder or not? Now, I'm just trying to get where you are. Are you pro-abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, whatever you want to call it? Where do you stand on the issue? That helps me to understand where you're coming from.
Thank you. I believe it is a woman's choice, and that.
All right. So if you believe that, and I believe that choice is equivalent to murder, you understand why there's issues there. And I think maybe the only difference between what could possibly happen is if a state cannot decide to use all of those women's health funds to other organizations and then say, you know what, you want to do abortions, do it. It's maybe legal under the law, but we're not paying for it. Our citizens aren't going to pay it for it for you. I don't think there should be a constitutional, federal, legal crisis over that. But there is, because they're so willing to do anything they can to keep the money going to the abortion industry. If you believe in the right of abortion, go. You know, you can fight for that. at the legislative level. But if you lose in a state and the state decides not to fund the money, why is that a federal court issue now? Because, well, because the abortion industry is such a powerful political player. I mean, you say it's not about politics, but come on, it's all about politics. They have huge political action committees that fund these members of Congress and fund these legislatures and fund people, candidates who are pro-abortion. I just think it's a fundamental issue. It's so fundamental. And the reason I'm staying on this call, it's such a fundamental issue between do you believe it's murder or not. And at that point, you can either have the medical or scientific discussion, or you can have the fight to do something about it discussion. And that's not much of a discussion. It's a fight. And that's what we're engaged in. Planned Parenthood doesn't want a dialogue. They don't want a discussion. They want a fight. They didn't think anybody was willing to take them on. And now we are, and they're scared. And that's a good thing, folks, because you're seeing the real Planned Parenthood come out. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But call now, 877-989-2255. You're listening to The Jordan Sekulow Show. Follow me at twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow. Hey, welcome back to The Jordan Sekulow Show. I know we've been talking about defunding Planned Parenthood today, and I've taken a lot of your phone calls. And folks, I appreciate everybody and calling in and talking about it, because I really did want to know, at the state level, do you want your state legislatures, do you want your governor, do you want your elected officials to take the task on of defunding abortion providers and Planned Parenthood, and possibly even having to fight that out in courts like Texas has done? Arizona's defund Planned Parenthood, Indiana fighting it out in courts. Is that what you want? Are you ready and willing for your state governments to take that stand and, of course, fight with the consequences that come? That's always the question. And if you're willing to stand with them, I think that there are legislatures around the country that are willing to fight that battle. But they do need to know from you that it's a battle you want them to fight. So, folks, thank you for your phone calls today. If you want to join the ACLJ's petition here, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. Now, right on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, I was on CBN News, their Newswatch broadcast, talking very briefly about pastors' rights to talk about issues, not political campaigns necessarily, but political issues, moral issues of the day from the pulpit. I have a feeling you know which issue that is that pastors want to be talking about. Let's take a listen.
Many pastors around the country feel the same way, yet they may be afraid to speak out because they may be violating IRS laws. We want to address those concerns with Jordan Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan, first of all, should a pastor be afraid to speak out and say that according to the scriptures, homosexual behavior is wrong?
Absolutely not, Lee. You know, a lot of this stems from activist liberal organizations and the separation of church and state organizations going around threatening churches because of the very important tax-exempt status they receive as a 501c3 organization. Pastors know about this. Church leadership knows about this well, and it's important for the members because those the donations they make are tax deductible. And so when they tithe, it's tax deductible. It's an important part of how America fosters the church community and the religious community. All religions are, by the way, all religious organizations can apply for that status. So they get threatening letters around campaign season saying, don't talk about politics. But the truth is, it's very clear cut when it comes to endorsing or opposing a candidate from the pulpit or using a church bulletin. But you can absolutely talk about the moral issues of the day. And the Supreme Court has said over and over, it's part of a fabric of America. The churches talk about moral issues. So pastors do not have to be afraid, though I assume if you're in one of those important battleground states and watching now, you'll be getting letters in the mail saying, watch out, we're watching you. And don't worry, though, when it comes to issues, it's very clear you can speak about it.
Jordan, I know that the ACLJ has posted on its website a list of things you can and cannot do. We want to make that available to our viewers, and we'll link to that through our website at cbnnews.com. But before I let you go, I asked the question at the top of the program, paraphrasing the Japanese Admiral Yamamoto after Pearl Harbor, has the president's endorsement of same-sex marriage awakened a sleeping giant, namely the evangelical church. Jordan, do you believe it has?
You know, Lee, as I was watching that interview you did with those local pastors, and we've heard from a number of people as well who did support President Obama in 2008 for a number of reasons and are questioning that and saying, you know what, this time not only am I not going to volunteer, I'm certainly not casting my vote. I think it will hurt enthusiasm for President Obama within some constituencies. I'm not sure that they will switch their vote, but I think for conservatives who were wondering about how involved they should be in this campaign cycle, this may be the issue. And you're seeing it this week, whether it's covered heavily or not in the campaign 3 months from now, that is the reason why people decided to get up and say, I'm not just going to cast a vote, I'm going to go volunteer for someone like Mitt Romney. I'm going to get involved in politics in my state and at the national level. And as you heard, a lot of people did not think that this would come from the president, though I think he did. I don't think he's made much of a secret that he was going to get to this at some point.
Jordan, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lee.
You know, it's so key we talk about these moral issues, whether or not it's the definition of marriage or whether we're talking about, of course, the abortion issue and defunding Planned Parenthood. You can absolutely talk about these issues from the pulpit as a pastor. You will get, especially if you're in one of the battleground and swing states and, you know, you talk about these kind of issues, you'll start getting those letters in the mail, likely threatening you, saying you may lose your tax-exempt status if you talk about politics. They don't explain because they just want you to keep quiet what they mean, and that means endorsing candidates from the pulpit and saying, telling people to vote or not vote for someone from the pulpit. That's not it's not the same as political issues and talking about public policy issues and moral issues of the day, which is such a key role for the church. So I hope so many people have asked. We have those resources that we talked about in CBN News at ACLJ.org with the pastor's rights, your First Amendment rights, what you can do, and we're very clear. Though we don't agree with all the law, we tell you what you can't do as well. So you get your advice from us at the ACLJ, exactly what you can and can't do. And of course, if you ever have questions, if you ever get a comment or threatening kind of legal action letter, contact us, the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org. Now, let me change gears, though, to another moral issue of the day, and that's the defunding of Planned Parenthood once again. We've put together and we're putting together a comprehensive legal strategy looking at states across the country who are taking a stand. There's a number of states, almost a dozen states, that are looking to defund Planned Parenthood or defund abortion providers. They're fighting it out in federal courts around the country. The question is, will you take a stand with these states and so that your state can do the same thing? Or if it's a lot of these are your states, keep the battle going. We're putting together a whole legal strategy, filing briefs, getting involved in these cases. We want you to take a stand with us, a committee to defund Planned Parenthood at the state level. Let the states decide what to do with their money. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition online. But I encourage you, because I know that many of you have said, well, I've signed a petition to defund Planned Parenthood at the federal level. This is different. This is about the states taking a stand, getting active. They aren't backing down. They're saying, no, you know, we're not going to wait anymore for the federal government. We're going to take a stand today. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. I encourage you. We know these issues are under assault. We know it takes boldness. We know you have to stand. We know you have to fight. We know you have to spend state resources, just like in the healthcare cases, to do so. But I also know that there's plenty of you out there. The majority of you out there are ready to have these battles now rather than wait and wait and wait. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And you can also go to ACLJ.org. We've got a lot of information up at ACLJ.org. Youssef Nader Khani now in jail 945 days. If you missed any of it last week, he sent a letter in about being in jail. And it's only the second time he's been able to communicate. You can read that up at ACLJ.org. We have the original Farsi letter and the translation. So now 945 days in jail. And he talks about how he appreciates all the work that you've done by keeping his story and by keeping his whole story in the news. That's the best way to say it, in his plight and positively calling for his release. He believes that has an effect. That's at ACLJ.org. If you're willing to stand for these states who are saying, we'll fight it out against Planned Parenthood, there's almost a dozen of them, and more every day are looking at this legislation. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.